listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP, and veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstatter. Natalia, Dave, it's good to have you on today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hello.
As the rate of COVID-19 cases remains on the rise, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is continuing his push to keep schools open as much as possible. New guidance from the state tells districts remote-only learning should only be used when there's transmission of the virus within a school.
Just about every community, with the safety measures we've put in place and our local colleagues have responded to, the data pretty much says the same thing, that schools can open safely.
The state also changed some of the metrics it uses to determine if a community is at high risk of the coronavirus, also with an eye on keeping schools open. So, Natalia, even as cases surge, Baker really has dug his heels in on this one. With support of his public health team, they point to mental health and education concerns if kids are kept from school. How would you grade the governor on this?
I think he's doing the best he can. Look, we're learning about how to manage this pandemic day by day, week by week. And as we know, it's also become politicized. So people who don't wear masks are trying to make some sort of statement about their political ideology. And the people who wear masks, they're also saying something about their political ideology. I think Baker is trying to balance science and also that children benefit from being around each other. But, you know, I don't think there's a hard, if they, yes, open the schools or no, don't open the schools. I think it has to be looked at day by day.
Dave, there doesn't appear to be much of a penalty for schools that go against the governor's wishes and stay with remote-only learning. What about trying to be tough with districts but not being clear about an enforcement mechanism?
Just like Natalia was saying, it is such a difficult and thorny and really unknowable issue. I would push back a little bit on the governor's assessment that schools in general are not spreading the diseases. The science I've seen is that that's perhaps true of elementary schools, kids in younger grades, but that's not necessarily supported in middle school and above. So it's a very difficult, not only day by day, but school by school situation. And, you know, as far as putting penalties on schools that stick with remote learning, I don't think I would be in favor of something like that. You know, we're talking about a virus that kills people, and it is bad to do remote learning. I mean, remote learning is not real in-class learning. It's not as good, and it causes more disparities. But I don't think, as Natalia was pointing out, I don't really think there are good options for anybody.
Staying with the pandemic, some retailers in Massachusetts are requiring everyone entering their stores to wear a mask, even if they have a medical exemption. Brad Borofsky is president of Sam's Outdoor Outfitters, which has a location in Hadley and is requiring mask wearing by all.
If we didn't make it mandatory for people to wear masks, we wouldn't be doing that much business because there's a lot of people that wouldn't come into the store. But the first problem I would have is I don't think my employees would come into the store, so I wouldn't have to worry about being open.
Dave, those who would be put at a medical risk for wearing a mask aren't supposed to be required to wear one in a store, so retailers like Sam's could be in violation of the state order. What about this balancing act?
Another tough one. I think it would be much, much, much easier if there weren't people out there who were specifically flouting the mask rules for needless political purposes. I think that it would be much easier to find a solution that would be, you know, equitable and fair to people who do have these conditions where it makes mask wearing difficult or impossible. I think that people, for political purposes, are really throwing a wrench into this and not, again, not leaving people with good options, store owners or employees or fellow shoppers.
Natalia, customers who claim a medical exemption do not need to provide proof under the state order. Do you think that they should have to present some sort of documentation?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have a friend who works at Costco. You know how many people walk into Costco and say, I got a medical condition, and they don't wear the mask, but then there's no proof. You need to have a doctor's note, and then it would be up to then stores to verify that it's a legitimate doctor's note, because there's scammers everywhere. And if they, as Dave said, and as we all know, this is a deadly disease that people can get. People can die within days of getting this disease. So how is this even a question whether to wear a mask? Now, if you have asthma or you have some sort of lung, you know, breathing issue, get a doctor's note and then you can go to the store, because it's not only about you who needs to not have a mask. It's about the people who could get infected by you if you're a carrier. So there's this lack of thinking about the community. There's this it's about me, 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 and what do I want, and not enough about what is best for us as a country going through this very challenging time.
Shifting gears, meanwhile in Springfield, two city councilors who were elected last week to the state legislature could very well choose to fill both roles going forward. Orlando Ramos, who will be a state representative in January, tells the Republican he plans to serve out the final year of his council term. State Senator-elect Adam Gomez says he's still considering what to do. Natalia Gomez and Ramos both point out if they did resign, the council, not the voters, would get to choose their replacements. That's because the rules stipulate when there's a vacancy, the runner-up from the last election gets the fill the seat or at least get the first crack at it, but both ran unopposed last time. This confusing process needs to be changed.
Yeah, it needs to be changed. There should be special elections whenever a city councilor in Springfield vacates the seat for whatever reason, whether they got elected to another seat or they resigned, whatever it is. And I, you know, respectfully do not agree with any of them about keeping their positions. Bud Williams, the city councilor, did this years ago when he was first elected to the legislature. And I was in disagreement. And as much as I believe Orlando Ramos saying he has unfinished business and important business, addressing racial inequality in policing, he's got to trust that there are other people who will be able to run for that position. I mean, it's almost like, this is too strong a phrase, like saying control freak, but it's just, look, you just got elected to the legislature, go work full-time there, and then let Springfield voters decide how to deal with the vacancy.
Dave, isn't this a pretty heavy workload for one person, being a state representative and city councilor in a large city?
It could be. I do think Springfield has some very important issues to deal with, particularly with its police department and with police reform. And I would trust the voters to replace a councilor. If the voters don't get that chance, I think the voters spoke the first time in electing the councilors now. And I really think that with such important issues about the Springfield Police Department outstanding, I think that it should be voter elected councilors who are making these decisions, not fellow councilors who are filling out their own board.
All right. Veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstadter and Talia Munoz-Sosa via Con Munoz on WHMP. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.